Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Welcome to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Mackins, joined as always by my co-host, Sam Hoppin. We have week 7 in the books, and what a weird-ass week it was.
Yeah, kind of seemed like preseason, because we had no way to predict that any of this shit was going to happen. So, if you came away with a victory, good for you. If you did lose this week, don't take too much stock into it, unless your team is absolutely trash. Because there was a lot of crazy stuff that happened. Obviously, we'll talk about it a little later, but it was a bit of a wacky week,
to say the least, he was trying to say, as he looked at his host, who is really anxious with these Monday Night Football matchups right now. But without further ado, let's kick off.
And this game is underway!
So our kickoff question this week, as we speak, we're about a week away from the NFL trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to offer some, not fantasy trades, but legit NFL trades that we would like to see before the deadline that would put an interesting spin on fantasy.
Yeah, so mine is one that's been talked about a little bit, just some rumors swirling, and that's with Emmanuel Sanders leaving the Broncos and going somewhere like the Packers, the Saints. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers showed us this past week, it doesn't matter who the hell he's throwing the ball to. He's going to throw 5 touchdowns and be the first Packer to throw a perfect passer rating. But sending him to the Packers, the Saints maybe, who still really only have Michael Thomas as a receiver, which it's working out for them, but it never hurts to have a little bit of depth. One of these two teams that is in contention and could have potentially boost Emmanuel Sanders' value again. He was having a great start to the season, but has essentially fallen off a cliff at this point, and would open up the game even more for Cortland Sutton, who's having an amazing year. Potentially get Noah Fant a little bit involved if he can even catch the ball at this point.
well, he's a rookie tight end, so
he is. But
don't have to think too hard about him.
There are some catches that I could be making.
Yeah, for me, I was looking more at the running game, so I mentioned a couple guys that I know. Kenyon Drake has been mentioned a lot in trade rumors.
I mean, who on the Dolphins isn't involved with trade rumors?
Right. That's true. So seeing Kenyon Drake go somewhere where, you know, his talents can be leveraged a little bit more would be nice. I'm trying to think of like teams that could use them the most. Usually the Bucks have come to mind in past rumors, but I think they think they've got who they need in Dare Ogunbowale, fellow Wisconsin alum. but what might be more interesting is the Melvin Gordon prospects of trading, which I don't know what the Chargers think of him right now that he's coming back. But they haven't done that well with him coming back, so he's clearly not like this savior that the team needed or anything of that nature. I think that the Bears have actually really struggled with the running game, and maybe Melvin Gordon to the Bears would be an interesting trade. But look, maybe that's a little clickbaity.
The Bears need a quarterback before they need a running back. Like, let's be serious. Mitch Trubisky is not bringing that team anywhere. The defense carried that team last year and continues to this year. I think one landing spot for either of these running backs could potentially be the Bills. Now, that wouldn't be great for fantasy purposes, because Singletary is now back and healthy. Gore's having a decent season. But from a depth perspective, the Bills don't have a ton of talent in their backfield and are certainly in a position to make a postseason run. You know, maybe the Ravens try and trade for someone, even though they have Mark Ingram. They don't have that much depth behind him either. So, I don't know. We'll be interesting. Hopefully we get a bit of action. I'm sure there'll be some surprises coming out of the NFL rumor mill in the next week or so.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake to the Ravens actually sounds really spicy, just because they've got a really great running game, but we haven't heard much from any type of second pass-catching running back like a Justice Hill or anyone. So Kenyon Drake could fill that role really quickly. Now, let's pivot to everyone's favorite segment, our DiGiorno Players of the Week, those people that we thought, you know, on a weekly basis would always deliver for you, and in this case, they did not. All right, so my stinker, my DiGiorno Player of the Week this week, pretty much we knew this about like 2 seconds into the 12 o'clock games, David Johnson. He gets one carry for 2 yards, and then I don't know if it's just that his back locked up or what, but you already locked him into your lineup, and you got fucked by that because he was never the starter to begin with. Chase Edmonds got all of his points, and it's just something that you hate to see.
Yeah, he really did a disappearing act after that first that first play. Yeah, my guy is someone similar. Kenny Golladay did absolutely nothing this week. It seems like he took a holiday, Kenny Golladay, at this point, early Thanksgiving break. Stafford threw 4 touchdowns, counting 4. Golladay caught none of them. It was just absolutely terrible.
21 yards.
What the hell, man? Like, come on. How does your team do that well in the passing game? You're the main receiver, and you just don't do jack squat.
Okay, one bit of analysis. We never do this in DiGiorno, but Rhodes closed. Xavier Rhodes taking on Kenny Golladay. Probably why he shit the bed.
I think he was covering Marvin Jones, who scored 4 touchdowns, so Rhodes are open.
Rhodes are open. That's our third DiGiorno Player of the Week.
All right. I would say honorable mention for that goes to a one Melvin Gordon as well. Someone we didn't mention where we just mentioned in the trade section. Had multiple opportunities to get into the end zone at the end of the game and truly deliver for his team and fantasy teams and did not do that. I actually saw a stat today that none of his carries have gone for more than 7 yards. The 36 carries that he's had so far this season, his longest is 7 yards.
Yeah, it's which probably is a good thing he didn't hold out.
Yeah, I think I actually saw something else today, too, saying that he is never going to miss another training camp. So, yeah, really got the short end of the stick on that holdout. That's so, for sure.
And speaking of, you know, players that have gotten paid from a little bit of holdout threat, let's talk about the first matchup that you were watching in Week 7.
That's what we in the biz call a segue. And it seemed like Zeke was riding a segue all the way through this Eagles run defense. This guy is just an absolute man. He is making great cuts. He was truck-sticking every Eagles defender. He is turning out to be the player that you drafted in the first round if you paid that price. And he's just doing absolutely phenomenal. The Eagles' defense is falling apart. They've had such high hopes for this season, and they're just absolutely disappointing. Again, their run defense was the sort of shining part of the team at this point in the season, but it's just been not great for them whatsoever, and Zeke showed that.
Yeah, always a great pick, and great to see when your first-round draft pick is delivering, unlike the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially important, too, in these negative, quote-unquote negative matchups when they're playing a tougher run defense or tougher pass defense if they're a receiver.
He made them look foolish.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
So my matchup I was curious about was Lamar Jackson versus the Seahawks, and where are we on the Seattle defense? Ravens took it to him, and I think there are a couple highlights that really stuck out for me. There was one where Lamar was, you know, throwing on the run. It was a deep throw, went over 50 yards, and he made it really look effortless and made me think, again, why did so many people think he couldn't be like the guy he was in college? The world may never know. But the other thing, obviously, the rushing, he's breaking all these rushing records, or he's on pace to, and he had a fourth down touchdown run. It was a 4th and 2 in the red zone. He takes it for himself. You know it's coming, and he literally slices through the defenders like he's slick with butter, and it was just ridiculous.
That was absolutely awesome. If you haven't seen the clip, Jackson runs off the sideline, and Harbaugh says, you know, hey, you want to go for it? He's like, hell yeah, I want to go for it. He's like,
let's go for it, coach.
Screams for the rest of the team. Like, they go in, they go for it. I absolutely love what Harbaugh is doing. He is currently the king of analytics football right now. Just like taking what his analytics department is giving to him and actually using it logically and not being an absolute idiot about it. calling up the right plays in the right time. This Ravens offense has taken a couple steps back in a couple of their games, their losses specifically, but this team just keeps outperforming what everyone expects.
Yeah, generally teams take a step back in their losses, but yeah. they are going strong, and Seahawks are always a competitive team, so you love to see that if you're a Ravens fan. Thinking about, you know, a guy who used to be the king of analytics but is looking more like a doofus nowadays, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, and the shootout that I was hoping for was Sunday Night Football, Eagles versus Cowboys. Really a one-sided shootout, as you noted, Sam. And it's funny because I've said this before, I think most of these Sunday Night Football games have been fairly disappointing in terms of being like really close and nail-biters at the end. And this one, it kept my attention just because I wanted to see Carson Wentz and that Eagles offense actually do something or come back in the game. And it just never happened. The Cowboys defense showed that they are like pretty legit, even though they've struggled in previous weeks.
Yeah, I mentioned it before. The Eagles offense just looks absolutely putrid. They've been a huge disappointment. The Cowboys straight up showed up. Brett Maher hit a 63-yard field goal, which was absolutely insane to end the first half. But speaking of one-sided affairs, Rams and Falcons. Apparently the Falcons didn't show up whatsoever.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey made his presence clear despite, you know, Julio Jones having a decent day. But Goff finally got right. The receivers had a disappointing day, you know, based on the matchup that they were given. I mean, it was Todd Gurley, Gerald Everett, and Jared Goff with a rushing touchdown who all scored for the Rams. So it's tough to take much away from what Goff and the receivers did. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to continue that against the Bengals this upcoming week, week 8, and then they have their bye after that. So, again, tough to take too much from what happened in the game. It was good to see that he actually did something, because if he didn't, then he'd be droppable at this point. But again, I liked what I saw and was glad that, I mean, he spread it around, which is what you would expect in the Rams. It's what everyone expects, but good to see him get right.
Yeah, a couple notes I had from this game is just, well, Devontae Freeman getting ejected early-ish on by trying to pick a fight with Aaron Donald, of all people. I don't think that's like someone even The Rock should pick a fight with. But that doesn't help your offense, especially because I think, you know, Ito Smith might have gotten injured in this game or wasn't around much either. I think, hilariously, Austin Hooper still had a good day because he had like double-digit fantasy points. Got the one touchdown from Matt Schaub, who filled in for Matt Ryan on his injury. So things are really like arrow pointing down for the Falcons. And
yeah, it's interesting if you look at Hooper's splits between when the Falcons are trailing and when they're ahead or tied with an opponent, as well as the first half versus the second half. Basically, all of Hooper's production is in the second half and when they're trailing opponents. So
yeah, I guess that makes sense because he's more of like, you know, tight ends, more of a safety valve where it's like, well, if we're down, we don't want Julio to score on one play.
Very well could be.
And then the last thing is just, because the Falcons struggled so mightily, I really think there's a chance for this Rams defense to be revitalized now that they have Jalen Ramsey on their team.
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet.
And I think the fact that Donald and Ramsey are on the same team, maybe it's just a Madden thing, but it seems like a cheat code to have like that type of pass rush with that shutdown corner, that same, like, you know, the best player at their position for that pass rush coverage dynamic that you need on quality defenses.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I think, you know, it's tough to look at this game because, again, Ryan got hurt at the end, but and we'll see what happens with him, whether he plays this next week or not. But even with him in, it's starting to feel like the Falcons are a plus matchup for opposing defenses, depending on who you have, because they're not scoring. They're not putting up the yardage that they used to. You know, their offensive line is absolutely terrible. And there is a little bit of scariness with that because they have Julio Jones, Austin Hooper, Calvin Ridley, all these guys that can make plays, but they haven't done it for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So what makes you think that's going to change? Again, if you, it's like what we were talking about last week and the week before, is if you strip the names away from what the team, you know, what is being produced, you look at that and you see the offense that's giving up the 8th most points to opposing fantasy defenses. And that's a great matchup that you're trying to exploit. So again, Seattle's playing them this upcoming week. If Matt Schaub is starting, I'm rushing and getting the Seahawks defense. But I don't know. It's tough because you want to think they're this explosive offense, but they just haven't shown it.
That's a good point. I like that in terms of another defense that we can speculate on. And we'll be talking about another defense later. But let's talk about these players that we were looking at to see what their performance would be like this week. And we can keep this fairly quick because both of them were shitty.
they both sort of deserve to be in the DiGiorno players. But my player was Kerryon Johnson. I mentioned it last week. I just want to see like a good, solid game from him. Like he's had games where he's produced fantasy-wise, but he hasn't had like just a good rushing game and a good
NFL game. I mean, he did have 125 yards against the Chiefs, but I mean, I guess the Chiefs aren't that great of a rush defense. So
exactly. I mean, that's also why, like, I just want to see it. Like he had all this hype and he's had all the opportunity to do it, but he's just not doing anything with it. I think the Lions are going backwards now. It doesn't, you know, they play the Giants this upcoming week, so maybe that's a get-right game for them. But I think
they get screwed in that game.
You never know. Like, they just can't seem to figure things out right now. Now, he got hurt. It sounds like he's going to miss a couple of weeks, which is unfortunate. I think Ty Johnson is the guy that fills in that role. So if you have the priority, I'd say burn on him because you don't know how long Kerryon Johnson is going to be out. He dealt with a knee injury last year that caused him to miss 6 games. And for all we know, you know, if the Lions keep losing, then maybe they sit him out a little bit more. So, again, not a ton to take away because he did get hurt. But what about your guy that you were looking at?
Yeah, quick note on Kerryon before we move over is he had that one 125-yard rushing game. His next highest rushing performance was 49 yards. So he's getting like pretty good attempt numbers.
Yeah, he's getting like 15 plus attempts a game.
But they don't commit to him in the it seems the passing game nearly as much as they should either, which is disappointing because we thought that they were going to do that. And then they bring in JD fucking McKissick out of nowhere. So anyway, my guy was Terry McLaurin, who's been great all season up until this game where we knew he was going to be against a tough 49ers defense, that whole Redskins offense was. And to make matters even worse, it was just raining like crazy there. If you can get a little Ollie the weatherman in here.
Let's go live to Ollie Williams with the Black U Weather Report. Ollie?
It's raining sideways!
Sounds rough, Ollie.
So yeah, I mean, he had 2 targets, 1 catch. I think it was like 11 or 12 yards. So I'm really glad I traded him away before this game.
Yeah, this is, again, one of those games where it's tough to take a lot away from it because you said rain. Like, it was a straight-up monsoon. Like, there were puddles every time players hit the floor. It was just splish-splashing all around, slip-and-slide stuff going on.
It was raining sideways.
Typically, rain doesn't impact fantasy or NFL production, but today it did. Like, neither team played well. There were drop balls, missed kicks, all that sort of stuff. So hopefully Terry McLaurin can pick it up. He's got, a tough matchup for Thursday Night Football against the Vikings. But
will the roads be open or will they be closed?
Yeah, you never know. Why don't we talk about some other things that we can glean from this otherwise weird week? Because there are, I think, some things to take away, and there was so much craziness going on that it's important to sift through the bullshit and the chaos that happened.
Yeah, so you mentioned one of these already. The Falcons are a good matchup for opposing DSTs, potentially, especially with Matt Schaub back there, because we know he loves throwing pick sixes. And I think that that is more, you know, prone to happen when you're trailing, which the Falcons have been a lot. I mentioned this last week, and I'm glad you put it in here, is the Packers defense, I think, is a really good NFL defense, but not so much a great fantasy defense, because they've had some games where they've had 5+ sacks, but it hasn't been consistent. I think that, you know, for Packers fans, this is like a Packers podcast, that three sacks in a game feels great for like what we're used to, but that doesn't really do it for fantasy, especially if you're not plus in the, like, or at least plus in defensive, you know, takeaways.
Yeah, I mean, even with the three sacks, like, they put up negative points because they allowed a ton of yards and 24 points to the Raiders. But you talked about Sunday Night Football earlier. The Sunday Night Football this upcoming week is going to be Chiefs-Packers, which, unfortunately, we won't get Mahomes for. So, at face value, that seems like a decent matchup for the Packers defense, but I would still stay away from it. I think the Chiefs have enough offensive playmakers where if Matt Moore gets Tyreek Hill the ball 5 yards down the field, Hill can take it to the house no matter what. I think Andy Reid, with enough time, will be able to scheme some of these guys open and make it competitive enough where the Packers defense is not going to be a great streaming option.
Yeah, and people forget that Matt Moore brought the Miami Dolphins to a playoff game.
Oh, God. So one other offense that I want to mention is a good matchup for opposing defenses, the Bears. Bears, hashtag Bears offense, is dead.
This was D-E-D, dead.
They are the only team yet to have over 300 yards total offense in a game this season. They have not hit 300. Like,
ooh-wee.
Granted, that's like a decent amount, but like, for Christ's sake, the Redskins have done that. The Dolphins
most quarterbacks,
have done that.
We want most fantasy quarterbacks to get over 300 yards passing, right? And that doesn't even count rushing stats. If you can't get to over 300 yards total offense, Matt Nagy has been a fraud. I'm saying this here. We've already put hashtag Bears offense to bed. The only thing I'll say to try and defend myself is that you can still rely on Allen Robinson in your lineup, because he's getting targeted like crazy by Trubisky, because Trubisky doesn't know what else to do. Some people say it can only throw to one side of the field, but that's that. Very good point on offense, and, you know, play your defenses against the Bears offense.
One other thing that I want to mention as, again, a takeaway from this week is Marvin Jones was a fluke. We were talking before the show.
You think?
We were talking before. Now, granted, he is the third player along with Jerry Rice and someone else, Shannon Sharp or Sterling Sharp, one of those guys, to have four touchdowns in multiple games. So, very impressive nonetheless, but again, we were talking earlier before the show that basically Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones cannot coexist together. One goes off and the other is a complete dud. This is only the second game that Marvin Jones has had double-digit points in half PPR this entire season. And that's just not sustainable enough to warrant keeping him in your lineup. Now, again, against the Giants, which is a plus matchup in the passing area, and with Kerryon Johnson out, maybe they pass it even more. But
yeah, I would say, like, it depends on who's on your team, though.
I mean,
he's flex worthy.
He's a bye week fill-in, but nothing more than that.
You can't expect you can't have high expectations every week, especially not four touchdown expectations.
Yeah, that's for sure. Are there any other takeaways from Week 7 that you want to touch on before we look ahead to Week 8?
I think we need to be done with Will Fuller. Or we're forced to be done with Will Fuller now, but can we ever trust him in the future? I don't know, because of the injury issues. I can't blame anyone for starting him, and that's what is a larger takeaway, I think, is some of these bad performances that you had in your lineup, you got to be able to forgive yourself for them just because it was such a freaky week, and injuries are something you can't control. So, like, obviously I'm upset about Kerryon and Evan Engram not getting involved despite being on the field for what I think is the majority of the game. I heard he might have gotten poked in the eye or something, but there are certain stuff you just can't control. You just got to be smart and put the best players out there, given the information you have. That's the biggest takeaway, I think, from an overall, you know, strategy standpoint. But let's move on to what we're looking for in week 8. And I can start with an intriguing matchup. Because we've been talking about the Bears a bit, the Chargers running backs against the Bears defense. Now, I think we mentioned the Chargers running backs as well. Melvin Gordon kind of shit the bed this week. But 2 weeks ago, I was hoping to see what good could come from Austin Eckler being, you know, the number two to Melvin Gordon. And it was really bad against the Steelers, but it was great against the Titans. He basically had wide receiver statistics. He had 2 carries for like 3 yards, but then he had like double digit targets, a long touchdown catch. It was basically on a wheel route and like down the sideline. And I think that's promising. I don't know if he's going to get those type of passing statistics against the Bears because they have a better pass defense than they do run defense. But it'll be interesting to see again how the Chargers break that up. And if Melvin Gordon can somehow get something going against a Bears rush defense that has lost Akeem Hicks, and we've seen in the last 2 games they've played, Josh Jacobs and Latavius Murray have really performed well, despite, you know, most of the time we want to bench players against the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see Melvin Gordon is obviously taking the bulk of the rushing game for the Chargers, but Eckler is still getting it done in the passing game. He had that game a couple weeks ago with 15 catches, has 7 catches this past week, and that spectacular touchdown catch. But the Bears D losing Akeem Hicks it's a huge loss. Like they are able, they're exploitable at this point. The Chargers have Hunter Henry back now. Hopefully they can get Keenan Allen a bit more involved like they were earlier in the season, but the Chargers have the weapons to be a good offense. They're, again, it's kind of like the Falcons in that they have all this potential and ability to play well, but they're just not doing anything with it. So, yeah, will be an interesting game. But another matchup that I'm looking for is this Cardinals offense versus the Saints defense. The Cardinals are riding a 3-game win streak right now, and the offense is finally clicking. Like, obviously, we saw the big game from Chase Edmonds. We've seen big games from Kyler Murray. That said, I would be wary about the Cardinals' offense because this Saints defense is absolutely killing it right now. Like, they have stepped up huge with Drew Brees out the past several weeks. If I'm a Chase Edmonds owner, if the David Johnson owner does not have him for some reason, I'm trying to flip him to the David Johnson owner for some sort of flex player because the Cardinals play the Saints, the 49ers twice, and the Bucks in the next 4 weeks before their bye week. So a ton, like 4 of the toughest run defenses in the NFL right now. I can't imagine either of these running backs as a 3-touchdown game again in this.
I've gotten some interesting offers for Chase Edmonds, but I would say you wouldn't want either of these. Just get your opinion on them, see if they're laughable. Anthony Miller, straight up.
Nope.
Malcolm Brown and Preston Williams for Chase Edmonds.
Interesting, but no.
Yeah, I looked at it. I'm like, isn't Malcolm Brown out now? So I looked at it. It said he was out. Really interesting, but just as a gauge, like, don't give him away for peanuts, but, like,
of course,
Sam said,
yes.
Someone that you could start in your lineup.
What about Marvin Jones for Chase Edmonds? Would you take that?
I think I would, because I think that Marvin Jones is flex-worthy on a week-to-week basis. Especially if they're going to really, like, if Kenny Galladay's having a bad game, he's not getting open. Stafford's experienced enough to know to look for second wide receiver.
Yeah, I think Jones, again, is going to be more startable over the balance of the season than Edmonds is, especially because he has passed his bye. But anyway, the Cardinals are like, I'm really looking forward to this. The Cardinals play the Saints on Sunday, and then they, again, have to turn around on Thursday night to play the 49ers. So
great.
So that Thursday night football game, I'm really looking forward to, but it will be one of the toughest tests for this Cardinals offense that they've had so far this year. But talking about the Marvin Jones, the shootout that I have is actually Giants versus Lions. Now, these are two teams with somewhat competent offenses, I would say. Not defensive powerhouses either by any stretch of the imagination. Now, Daniel Jones has not played well since his first start against the Bucs. He has more interceptions than touchdowns in that, I believe, four-game stretch. He's gotten sacked 13 times, so the Lions defense could be interesting from a waiver perspective if you're still streaming. But again, these offenses have enough, like hopefully Evan Engram, Saquon Barkley, potentially Sterling Shepard is back for the game as well. But both of the offenses have shown enough that they can put up points. There's a pretty high over-under on the game right now. So I think there will be a lot of points in this game. I think, again, there will be enough missing tackles to give some scores to some fantasy players.
Awesome. So the shootout I was looking at, I mean, I told you this before. I was looking at the Week 8 schedule and just seeing a lot of, like, gross matchups. Like, I mean, Bengals-Rams seems like it's going to be super one-sided after what we saw last week. Kind of same with Seahawks-Falcons. I was going to say, can I say Bucks-Titans for a shootout? Because, you know, we've got that awful Buccaneers pass defense against a revitalized Titans offense with Ryan Tannehill threw over... Hell, 300 yards.
Ryan Tannehill looked better than Mariota has all season long. Yeah. So,
and hopefully the one thing I'll be watching as well is, are the Buccaneers going to come back strong after this bye? I don't know if I really want to plant my flag on this just because I think the Titans still have this streak going, maybe not with Austin Ekeler, but they haven't allowed a 100-yard wide receiver in like 10-plus games. They didn't allow, I think it was Julio to go over 100 yards either when they played. But I digress. I think some of the more low-hanging fruit shootouts could be Packers, Chiefs, despite the Matt Moore injury, as well as Texans, Raiders, based on just their past performances from last week. And then you mentioned Cardinals, Saints, which I think is kind of a sneaky shootout, but maybe it's just taking a trip down narrative street where if Kyler has to throw the ball like 50, 60 times, that somehow they will their way to making it an interesting, like, 28-42 type of final score. But in any case, we're going to be watching all these games anyway, so we just want to see points, points, points. And I think you've got a player that you're hoping to get more points from this week.
Yeah, so that player is Tevin Coleman. Now, Matt Breida left the game early on Sunday against the Redskins, and if he doesn't play, I want to see if Coleman can actually take over this backfield. Now, I doubt San Francisco is going to go without playing someone else, whether it's Raheem Mostert or Jeff Wilson or even both. But he's been playing well the first couple games back from his injury. And they're playing a Panthers defense, which has been good on the whole, but doesn't have a particular strong or weak spot. So I think Coleman, if he gets involved, especially gets involved in the passing game, which he hasn't done a lot of so far this year, then I think he can have a big game if Breida's out. So I'm looking for him because, again, he's one of those guys that I think could have a great end of the season and potentially have league-winning ability because, again, you still got him late in the round, late in the draft. If you were able to hang on to get three or four wins in the time that he was gone, then you're certainly in a good position now to make a playoff run. So I want to see if he can, again, take advantage of a potential opportunity this upcoming week.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to see that too because that's one of the reasons they brought him in. I think Shanahan will be able to scheme for him for sure, but definitely this Panthers matchup is nothing to sneeze at. I think, you know, I mentioned it maybe it was like week two. I didn't know think of a lot of the names on that roster. They're not like the flashiest defense or don't get the most media coverage, but I think in terms of their fantasy points as a defense, they're really underrated. And like Luke Kuechly is the engine of that defense. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be like a Tevin Coleman versus Luke Kuechly type of some might say a chess match, but usually that's reserved for like the Garoppolo-Keekly matchup. In any case, speaking of defenses, I have a collection of players that I'm excited to watch next Monday night. And so we'll see when I can work in the recap of this. But the only thing that you can hope for outside of maybe some Fitz magic on Monday night next week is the Steelers defense to absolutely torch the Miami Dolphins in primetime. I'm looking for TJ Watt, 5 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries or forced fumbles, and 2 TDs from that defense to really cap off a win for anyone that needs it. If you're like me and you start speculating on these defenses multiple weeks in advance, you already have Steelers defense on your bench while they're on a bye, knowing that they're coming off of that bye to play Miami in primetime, and it's going to be a complete bloodbath. And I just want to see it happen, like confirm my bias that it's going to happen. Because then you could speculate on the rest of the season and maybe keep them as a consistent player in your lineup if you are in a league where, you know, traditionally you're forced to play a defense. Their schedule after the Dolphins includes the Colts, the Rams, which have been bested by defenses before, then Browns, Bengals, Browns. So it looks a little appetizing on balance, and that's why I just want to see, like, come to play on that Monday night, absolutely destroy them like some other defenses have, and that'll give me confidence to keep them in my lineup instead of continuing to stream against Dolphins offense.
Yeah, it's interesting because everyone expected that to be the Bills defense this past week, right, against the Dolphins, which ended up not going as well as planned. I think, you know, I veered away from the Monday night game because we typically record Monday nights, but if I did include a Monday night player that I was really looking forward, it would be Juju. I mean, like, he's really got to put up or shut up against the Dolphins. Otherwise, he's not anything the rest of the season.
Well, player on the Dolphins is still Xavien Howard, right? So, I know he was hurt the week that McLaurin played the Dolphins and had those 4 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, which we talked about last week, but it'll be interesting to see if that is an actual matchup that comes into play. Yeah. Otherwise, if Howard's not covering Juju 100% of the time, Juju better go crazy.
Yeah, and hopefully Mason Rudolph is back next week, but we will for sure be back next week. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow myself at Sam Hoppin. You can follow my co-host Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins, our producer at Garnther. And you can follow up the pod at Pod After TD. But until then, the Brett Maher kick is good.
Jackson, first down, touchdown. 8-yard touchdown run by Lamar Jackson on 4th and 2.